she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
pennies. Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hey.
Waddle.
Hey, hey.
And me, Sybil. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock, so if you have a call, you want a question, maybe you're thinking about a couple different cars and you need expert advice, give us a shout. 877-881-1053 is the number. And as always, our Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733. So anytime you want to hit us up on that, it's always open for your business. You can even call Autoflex today. And David, what are those numbers?
Either 972 or 817-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. And of course, Autoflex.com, where you can also like us on Facebook and read along with the stories we're doing today. We've got a lot more stories on the Facebook page. So if you want details on what we're doing and some more car news, Autoflex.com.
And on that Facebook page, you can find the story about black boxes, because they're not just for airplanes anymore.
No, in fact, pretty well everyone has a black box in their car, whether they know it or not. You know, a lot of people don't realize that they have a recording device in their car.
I did not realize it till I read this story.
Neither.
I went, oh.
And it doesn't tell people where you're at. What it does is it records what your car is doing at moments of impact and stress. Sometimes just as little as hitting a curb will set off the black box recording device. But anyway, how fast the car is going, which way the wheels are turning, whether you're braking, whether you're slamming on the brakes, a lot of different things are recorded by the black box. And they're called EDRs, event recorders. And they're sort of a double-edged sword, because they can be really, really good for you in some cases, but they can be really, really bad for you in some cases. And a lot of people don't know who has them and who doesn't, because it's not mandated at this time that all cars have black box recording devices.
It will tell you in your owner's manual.
Exactly.
What do you look for?
I think this EDR, I don't know. Well, since I forgot to grab my owner's manual to bring it with me, I was going to read that here, and I forgot. Sorry.
I think if you have airbags in your car,
I'm sure it does,
you're going to have some sort of recording device, some more sophisticated than others. Some are as sophisticated as, there's some BMWs that the EDR actually sends information on the car back to BMW while you're driving.
By satellite. Well, I wouldn't doubt that at all, because I know with an M3, whenever I would deliver those cars, I was told by the dealers, now you have to tell your client that he cannot drive, or she cannot drive over a certain speed limit. I think it was 105 miles per hour within the first 500 miles of the car, because everything needed to be seated. And I'm sure I'm probably wrong, and hopefully some BMW tech or salesperson is listening, or somebody who has one and knows can correct it. But anyway, they can't go over a certain speed for the first 500 or 1,000 miles, or it would void the warranty.
Wow.
And they said, and tell them BMW will know.
Ooh, if they say it like that, that's kind of
Well, yeah, because it's all chilling. Recorded in the information in their little box.
So it can't record voices or anything. It's just
no.
Stats, basically.
No, just
and
stats.
I watched a show, you know, one of those 48 hours, one of those murder shows not too long ago, where a girl had been shot and then kidnapped, and they found her car in the middle of the road, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong, but they recreated what had gone on, and she had stopped in the middle of the road on this highway or whatever it was, and then there was a sudden acceleration, and then it hit this curb, and that's where they found the car. So clearly she had stopped because this guy was in the middle of the road, and then he shot her, and she...
Oh,
but they
my
were recreating
gosh.
What happened, because no witnesses were around, and it was all from that EDR box. Okay, well, back to David.
And you know that Toyota had all of those claims of unintended acceleration.
Right.
And the black boxes were one of the way they proved that the cars were not accelerating by themselves.
Nice.
So they have proved to be very helpful in a lot of things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists and certainly some advocates, privacy advocates, that think that that's too much information to be tracked on everyone. In fact, the government could track you theoretically, maybe with this kind of.
Well, the insurance companies could track how you're driving.
Well, that's the thing.
Oh yeah.
Like, let's say you have a total loss. Let's say your car's involved in an accident and it's a total loss. Well, then the insurance company owns your car. mm-hmm. because they pay it off and they buy it. Well, they could take the black box and all the little things that record information and basically study how you've been driving that car.
Or
I think
if there was an accident involved, they could look for ways that maybe they weren't responsible to pay you.
But then once they've already paid out, can they go back and retract the money?
Oh. Well, they can try.
They can sue you.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how it would all work, but
well, and here's the other
possible
thing.
Is the point right. of the whole story.
Here's the other thing. Say you're in a court case because of an accident. The other side may be able to subpoena, or they can subpoena, your black box information to try to prove in some way that you were partially at fault.
And then their expert could interpret it one way.
And it has to be interpreted. It's not, you know.
Right.
You'd have to, it doesn't
well,
tell
yeah,
you everything.
There's all kinds. It doesn't just print out, okay, here's Joe who was, at was fault. Going 55 when all of a sudden Sue. Yep. It doesn't do that. There's all kinds of algorithms.
I wonder,
they have to figure it all out.
And I wonder if any of our listeners have actually been involved in a court case or an accident where black box information was used.
I would like to know that.
Yeah, I would too.
If you have, call us 877-881-1053 or AutoFlex Leasing Fan, text us 43733.
Okay, so a couple of questions, easy answers. Are EDRs, event recorders, required on all cars? No, they are not required as of right now. They may be in the future, but they're not as of right now. Do you have to be notified? Yes. The manufacturers, if they have an event data recorder in your car, they have to notify you in some way. Usually, you'll find that in your owner's manual.
And the NHTSA also recently mandated that vehicles manufactured after September 1st, 2011, that include the devices must record data in a standardized format so
exactly.
everybody can interpret it exactly the same way.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fiction. An event data recorder records all of your driving habits. It doesn't because it's not working all the time.
Right.
But when there is some sort of an event, an airbag deployment, an impact to the car, then it begins recording.
You have to hit a curb really hard or yeah. something big.
Something
has to
triggers
happen.
It mm-hmm. to start.
Right.
And here's what they record. They record vehicle speed, engine speed, steering angle, in other words, which way your wheel is turned, throttle position, which was important for Toyota, braking status, force of impact, seatbelt status, and airbag deployment. So those are the things right now that they track.
One of our listeners just texted in on the AutoFlex fan text. Insurance uses the black box in major injury claims to show negligence. I would have assumed that for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
think about that when you're driving like a fool.
Now, who can get into your EDR?
Yeah, who gets that data?
If you take it to the service department, can any technician get into that? Probably not. It does require some special equipment. It does require some special diagnostics.
And software.
I mean,
it's a little computer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably not an issue, and it does require specialized training in order to interpret the information you get, because it's certainly not black and white. It can be interpreted different ways, which could work to your advantage or disadvantage in the case of a lawsuit. Can it be accessed without your consent? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're involved in a court case, it can be subpoenaed by the other side. Also, paramedics sometimes use it. Police sometimes use that information. So a number of other people.
Accident.
Yeah, emergency responders, when they're doing accident recreation, they can access it. So it's certainly not something that you can hold and know that it won't come back and haunt you, because it can.
How long have they been in cars?
Since 1999. That's when they started.
It's amazing we don't hear more about them.
Well, they're not going to. There's certain things they're just not going to start talking about. Like, for example, this another story that's coming up. We've talked about ethanol before, and we will again, but one of the things that they just really don't tell you is how horrible it is for our engines, and just forget about it. If you're driving a car that's a 2001 or older,
mm-hmm.
it's going to kill your engine eventually. I mean, it's bad for it.
Yeah, well, it's corrosive towards certain seals and gaskets. So it can eat them up, especially on 2001 and older vehicles. It can really chew them up. It causes them just to deteriorate. Can't use it in two-cycle engines. Your edger, your lawnmower, it'll ruin those engines.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about gasoline that just has a little bit of ethanol in it?
Well, you know, we'll talk about this after the break. Mm-hmm. But in 2003, I think we had 3% ethanol. Mm-hmm. Now we have 10, and the EPA due to a great deal of lobbying by guess who, the ethanol industry, has okayed up to 15% ethanol in engines, which could be very, very bad for some engines.
But there's only one station in all of America that has E15. Guess where it is? Guess what state it's in? Just
Iowa.
Guess.
Close.
You're close.
Kansas.
Hmm.
Corn country.
Corn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess everybody there has a newer car than 2001.
Maybe so.
Because if you're growing corn, you're probably rich in Kansas.
Autoflex fan texter, I'm looking for a used Nissan or Toyota truck. I would like to stay under $15,000. That's not hard.
That's a great. Let me tell you, you contact us at Autoflex. Let me tell you one of the cool things that we do there. We have a customer base in cars, thousands and thousands and thousands of vehicles. If we don't have exactly what you want on our lot, my sales guys send out an email. I receive it of whatever they're looking for. I pull a query of that particular vehicle and similar vehicles in that category, okay? Then we start calling our current clients that are driving those cars to see if they want to trade them in. And we can, and sometimes they're ready at that time. So we can find your car within our own client base. It helps our customers. They get to trade in their car whenever they want, just by easy deal. Mm-hmm. And then you get a good deal from, because we know a little bit of history about the car already. So if we don't have it, we can get it for you. Rest assured.
So you got to give Autoflex Leasing a call, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly on 105.3 The Fan. Autoflex Lease,
oh yeah. We're back to this Saturday morning test drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. 877-881-1053 is our phone number. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733, and you can call Autoflex today if you're looking for a new car, you want to save some money, get those payments down right where you need them to be. David, what are the phone numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. You know, you could call us today if you don't want to be out tramping around in 100 and how much today?
104?
Or 5 or something like that. Yeah. It's a little hotter in Dallas than it is on the surface of the sun today.
Right.
So if you don't want to be out tramping around, you can do your shopping by the telephone or autoflex.com, where incidentally you can see all our pre-owned cars. Makes it really, really easy. Apply for a lease online. Get a Black Book appraisal on your car, all at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. Got some Autoflex Leasing fan texts here that we want to get to. One guy is trying to decide between a Toyota Camry and a Chevy Malibu. Which one, in your opinion, is a better car?
You want to go on this or you want me to?
I was just reading all the fan texts. I'm so sorry. I was kind of zoned out. I like both cars. See, that's tough. I'm a big fan of that new Chevy Malibu.
I am too, but when it comes to resale value, the Toyota maintains better resale value. So as a percentage, so here's what it comes down to.
But he's not asking that. He's wondering which one, well, or she, which one is the better car.
I like them both, but I think the Toyota is the better car. That's my opinion.
For the financial aspect
of
it.
Well, no, just it's probably never, ever going to go to the shop for any reason. That's what they're known for, and they don't.
Okay.
And
for me, it's a tie. For me, it's a tie.
The Malibu costs less going in. Mm-hmm. But the Toyota maintains more resale value.
If you wanted to drive those two cars side by side, you could go to Autoflex. They will
thank you.
Have the AC on and ready for you in this hot weather, and you can jump into one right after the other. That way you don't have to go to two separate car brand lots and find out which one you like better. You
well,
can do it
and,
right there.
And driving them side by side, then you can really decide, because one person's opinion is, you know, just one person's opinion.
Right.
In general, when clients would want to drive a midsize sedan like this, back in the day, I would just bring in the Camry, the Altima, and the Accord.
Right.
But then I started to throw in the Malibu, because when they redesigned it and they did that smoother shifting transmission, I was just and I thought the interior was so pretty.
Yeah.
And to me, the other interiors of the other cars were snore. I like the Malibu because I like the interior look of it. And that's where you sit, is mm-hmm. on the inside. So I think you need to decide that one for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you could go wrong either way.
You know, we've run onto this with a lot of the cars that we've reviewed. Seats are big difference. I mean, big differences in cars. Seats
sit differently.
Different people sit differently in different cars. You can be long-waisted or short-waisted, and that can be the deciding factor on which car you're actually comfortable in.
But I have a client coming out of a 2008 this next week, and he's enjoyed, you know, 24,000 miles. That's all they have on that car. They don't drive it very far, so
that'll
I'm not sure how much they
could car.
See. I know it. But they've enjoyed it. He said, we're just ready for something new.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really? Because you haven't been in this one very much. But
I do that.
He's had it for a while.
Yeah. I get tired of cars after about 2 years.
I know. You're a perfect lease candidate. People who trade often should definitely lease.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you do lease, is so that you don't have to take that hit of the depreciation or be exposed to the market. It just makes it a lot easier to just change cars every few years.
Mm-hmm.
But some people want to drive their car for 5 years. And you can do a lease at Autoflex for 5 years if you want to and have an even lower payment. And then have the flexibility to trade early if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that works out. Not unlike when you buy a car and you finance it for 5 years, sometimes six and seven these days. People are going even longer.
Even eight sometimes.
You can trade out of the car before it is paid off. Well, you can do the same thing with a lease, just some cars, maybe, for example, that Toyota Camry is one that would have a better shot at doing an early trade than maybe the Malibu.
Exactly.
It just depends on what vehicle you're choosing. So if you want to know about all those different kinds of options, of course, you call Autoflex at, what are the numbers, Dave?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. We've got a couple of really good fan texts, and they have to do with what you were talking about. Number one, what is the difference between new car depreciation or a new car depreciation hit and a used car depreciation hit? Here's how it works, folks. The car that you buy new is going to lose somewhere around 30% of its value, give or take 5% either direction, when you drive it off the lot. So if you've got a $30,000 car, that means it's going to lose a lot of money when you drive it off the lot.
$9,000, maybe.
After that, it's going to lose about 5% per year for the next 5 years. They don't depreciate much after the first year. So 25, 30, 35% according to the car the first year, and then after that about 5%. If you have a pre-owned car, it's not going to take that huge loss. It's in that 5% per year range, and that's what your depreciation loss will be on that car. So that's why we always say you should lease new and buy pre-owned, because someone else has taken the big those are real dollars. I mean, even though, you know, it sounds theoretical, but those are dollars out of your pocket. So if you're going to get a new car, you should always lease it. If you're going to buy a car, you should always buy pre-owned, mm-hmm. just because it saves you money.
And this doesn't include any extra depreciation that could occur from hailstorms, accidents, you know, wrecks and so mm-hmm. forth, because even if you do get it repaired, it has diminished value, which is another subject that we cover from time to time, and a client just dealt with that.
Yeah, well, and I was in the airport yesterday morning with a gentleman that lives in Dallas. We were both flying back to Dallas. He's got a BMW. He's a really nice guy, works for the government, FDIC, and his car got hailed on really badly in this last hailstorm. He lives in Lakewood, and his car just got hammered.
Doesn't even look like a car now.
No.
If he lives in Lakewood, that doesn't even look like
a car. It's more like a golf ball.
Yes.
But anyway, we were talking about that, and first I told him, you know, you don't have to fix that car. You can trade it in with your insurance check and not mess with all that. And he goes, well, that'd be a lot easier. And then I said, and then you won't lose that value because of the repairs. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, you know, if you have your car hail damage repair, they're going to have to replace the deck lid, the hood. There's going to be panels replaced. The whole upper car is going to be painted. It's going to hurt the resale value of the car. And he really never thought about that. So sometimes it's cheaper to trade that car in just like it is with the insurance check and get another car.
Because you'll also be waiting for a month for them to fix your car. Because it'll take a long time to get all the parts and do all the work there. So, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely true.
A lot more Autoflex fan text. Is Autoflex leasing a Metroplex-based company or a statewide company or even a national company? How large a pool do you draw from? Well, we have a pretty deep pool, let me tell you. we are based here in the Metroplex, but we serve nationwide. We lease folks here in the Metroplex on a regular basis. We have a lot of customers that have moved out of state, and so we still take care of them.
They still call us. I have a lady that moved to Delaware.
Yeah, and we just ship them cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or we get it up there and take care of it up there.
Right.
We do professional athletes all over the country because we're the endorsed company of the National Football League Players and Coaches Association. And then we have a large business in doctors. We're endorsed by a number of state medical associations. So we actually do doctors over about 28 states.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Very nice.
Where they should wind.
That's why we have the 888-234-1234 number.
That is correct. Okay. What if you lease a new car and take it back and you lease another one? Would you have to pay more payments to go to the new car? It's according to when you leased the last one. If you leased that car in 09 or certainly the first half of 2010.
2010.
Well, anyway.
I know. It's hard not to.
I know. That always gets me when people say that.
It might be cheaper now because residual values had dropped pretty radically back then, and they're back up to normal again. So you might be able to get out of that car and into a new car at the same or even lower payment.
I think maybe a good way to find out, let's think, should they call Autoflex to find out for sure? No, we could totally do a complete analysis if you give us all the data on your car. One phone call, one email to one of our specialists. It's so easy, and that doesn't cost you any money, a little bit of time, and we put in the effort. And the other really neat thing is if you're just looking for a bargain, okay, let's say you have a payment that you're trying to get to. This is my budget. I'm working out my monthly budget for my household, and I need this type of vehicle, whether it's a 5-passenger, 7-passenger vehicle, whatever, and here's my budget. You can call us and tell us all of this information, and then we can tell you which vehicles will fit in your budget, or we can say, none of them are going to fit in your budget. That's you're really dreaming. And so you need to adjust your budget or your desire of what you want, but we'll help you with that. And you don't have to go out when it's 100 degrees and hit all the dealerships and spend 5 hours with a salesperson that you may or may not really get along with or like.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So, that you may or may not. More fan text.
I don't know.
And here's the truth.
Not everybody loves me.
Gentleman says, a lease is no good for me. I still have the same F-150 I bought new in 1992. Well, guess what? He's right. Now, he doesn't have ABS or airbags, but if he's driving the same car he's had since 92, it hadn't cost him money in a long time.
Right.
Some people, I mean, if that's your intent and you don't mind not having the latest safety equipment and stuff, then keep your car, buy it, and drive it forever.
So maybe that ethanol isn't so bad if he's still driving his 1992 and
well,
it hasn't killed
his... he's not putting E15 in there, I can promise you.
Right. Maybe just an E10 blend.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't go higher than an E10 blend.
Got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is our phone number. And as always, our Autoflex Leasing fan text. Alive and kicking at 43733. You can also call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you're way out where the radio barely plays.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of our Autoflex leasing fan texts. One woman says, or maybe it's a guy, my daughter's been leasing Beamers for 7 years since she was 18. I told her she was nuts, but... she was able to get a nicer model at no extra charge, no repair bills. She was smart. Turns out I was dumb.
Well, that is true. You can continue to lease, and many times you can just upgrade or keep trading and get the same model. The nice thing about leasing, you can stay under the factory warranty, and BMW has that free maintenance program.
They do.
So all you're doing is making your payments.
Exactly. And in some cases, the free, the under warranty is the key thing because if you're driving, there's certain cars that take maintenance. And so you want to be in warranty if you're going to be driving one of those cars, Land Rover.
That's funny. Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
All right, just found out we're expecting our second child.
Wow.
We already have a 2.5-year-old. Oh, congratulations. What do you recommend? No sleep. What do you recommend I purchase for a good, safe family vehicle that has plenty of room and won't kill me on gas mileage? Well, that's everything is really safe now.
Yeah.
That's the good part. Well, not everything. Excuse me. There are a few vehicles that didn't get the best crash test results. And so, unfortunately, one of my favorites, the Mazda CX 7 and 9, didn't do well in certain crashes, like in the corner. So I'm not going to put that one in there. But if you're not opposed to a minivan, love them. They are so easy to use for families. The kids, they're low enough to the ground that the kids, once they get to 2.5 years old, they can crawl in on their own.
Right.
You have plenty of room for the car seats, gear in the back, and
Some of those with the stow-and-go seats and things make it so easy to load groceries and stuff in the back.
And you can get the power side doors and the power rear hatch so that you can just push a button and those kids can jump in. So with two kids on the way, I would go with a minivan. And like the Honda Odyssey has that eco engine that drops down to three cylinders when you don't need all six.
Right.
So the fuel economy is fairly decent.
And it's got great resale, so it does lease well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if you did want to do something maybe pre-owned, you can buy one of those, and it will also hold its value very well for a long time if you needed one to keep. Because at 2.5 and you've got another one coming, you're going to need that van for a long time.
Okay.
And then that you'll be able to carry all the kids' friends with you, too, because you never travel with just two once they get to a certain age. Okay.
Okay.
Minivan.
Yeah, I think so. You know, although some of the new crossovers have a lot of the same capabilities, and they're constructed sort of like a minivan, so there's a lot of things. GM's got some
the GMC
some great,
Acadia.
GMC
Acadia
is great.
To me, the interior is more like a minivan, but that one is the easiest for small children. I believe a minivan is the smart way to go.
Very good. What are the chances of me being able to get a vehicle with Autoflex? I'm going through Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Good question.
Excellent at Autoflex.
Yeah, it's not up to us, first of all, because if you're actually going through a Chapter 7, you have to have permission from the judge to go ahead and add a vehicle and exclude it from your Chapter 7 hearing. So if you can get a letter from the court saying it's okay, then we can help you with a car. Now, we can't lease you a car, but we can certainly sell you a pre-owned car, which will get you through a lot of the time that you're working through this.
Okay, guess what? That texter just wrote the rest of their text that's not a minivan. They don't want a minivan. The family.
There you have it.
Get that minivan.
Back to that GMC.
The GMC, well, and the fuel economy, too. With two kids, maybe something like a Ford Edge.
Which is a great car.
Let me think about some more things. I'll tell you later.
All right. Let's talk about something near and dear to my heart, ethanol. Because
he says through gritted teeth.
Yes, oh, because as everyone knows, this last year, the ethanol industry managed to lobby our Environmental Protection Agency and get them to double the amount of ethanol that can be put in our fuel from 10 to 15%. Not to anyone's best interest other than the ethanol industry and people that grow corn. Well, now there are problems, and there may be big problems because we're having a heck of a drought here in this country. Mm. And it's going to negatively affect the crops that are being grown because they're taking a lot of the corn out of the fields now that they would have used for food, and they're using it for cattle feed because it's not even good enough to use. So now the ethanol industry, which we are totally dependent on because 10% of our gasoline is now ethanol, there's going to be a shortage. And what does that mean? Cost of ethanol
go up.
Go up. Mm-hmm. Yes. So now you've got the cost of ethanol going up. And, you know, the price of gas is down right now, but it won't be because the ethanol additive will cost more money. How does any of this make sense? Unless, of course, you're Archer Daniels Midland. Then
so
it makes sense.
They use the ethanol basically to water down the gas.
Exactly. Well, and it was supposed to save us from importing more gasoline, but it hasn't done that. We actually import a great deal more gasoline than we used to, and it hasn't caused the cars to run more efficiently because you lose between 20 and 30% of efficiency by adding ethanol to gasoline. So
how did they not know that before?
But they did know it. It didn't matter. This was political.
This is business.
This was all started years ago as a program to help the corn farmers. The price of corn was
there
down.
There must have been a political corn farmer. There must have been a politician who grew corn.
Well, there's a lot of senators. Guess. There's a lot of senators and representatives from Iowa and Kansas and the corn states.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers needed help. So they put together a program by which they could get ethanol added to gasoline, and that gave the farmers a way to sell their corn. So then the price of the corn went down because the supply was in demand.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a different situation. Now there's probably not going to be enough corn, and now we've got this mandate to put the ethanol in the gasoline. Again, thanks to our
They renewed
EPA.
That in, what, 2005? Because first of all, the subsidies expired in December, but they put a new mandate back in 2005 that we still had to keep adding ethanol. It makes no sense.
Anyway, what we're doing right now is we're giving ethanol companies about $6 billion worth of tax breaks a year in order to have them continue to refine and add ethanol to our gasoline. So here's what it looks like. It looks like we're going to continue to live with this. It looks like that we're going to pay more for gasoline because of it. And it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
So are there cars that run purely on ethanol?
There are, but not in this country. Brazil has a great ethanol industry down there because they derive their ethanol from sugarcane, and they have vast sugarcane plantations.
But how
so
about
they have ethanol cars down there, and it's very common. In fact, a lot of their cars run on ethanol.
Well, what about these corrosive effects on those cars down there? Because if it's so corrosive that they can't move the ethanol through these pipelines like they do the gas.
The cars are designed differently, and they have different kinds of seals in them, so it doesn't eat them up. As you said,
did everybody know that? Ethanol is so corrosive they can't move it through pipelines.
Well, they can't use the gasoline pipelines that they currently use. The refiners can't.
But somebody
because
in
it eats the seals up.
There was one company in 2008 that did manage to move it through pipelines.
Yeah,
up.
But
they
it's
didn't
not
say
practical.
Who it was.
Yeah. Anyway. It is, we got a fan text, Buffer's brother is
Buffett's,
a corn farmer. Actually,
brother?
It's Buffett's son that's a corn farmer.
Oh,
actually,
is?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, I like the Honda Pilot for the people that don't want the minivan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
like
a great
Honda
idea.
I like the Honda Pilot. And that is if you want 7-passenger seating. You didn't state how many seats you want, but I assume that you might like to have that third row seat, and you can fold that down and have the extra storage in the back. So I like a Honda Pilot.
Okay, let's quick fan text. Let's see, where I lost it. Oh, can you do anything about an upside down trade? Yes, you can trade
all the time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people that owe more money on their cars than the car's worth trade them in because they need to make a change. More kids, less kids, further from work, closer to work, a lot of reasons.
Hate the car.
Terrible, yeah.
Whatever it is. However, what is nice is if you are flexible and you just need out of that vehicle and you need to solve your issue and get into something different, then we can guide you toward the deal that's going to be best. What you're going to need is, if you don't want to write a check to buy yourself out of that upside down or that negative equity, you will need a vehicle that has a large rebate to help absorb that negative equity so we can discount the car further, because the banks are only going to advance X number of dollars on a car. They're not going to loan you more than it's worth because they don't want to be in a situation sort of like the housing market where, you know, the car's worth 50% of its value that they loaned on it. You know, cars depreciate already and they know this, so they were going to make sure that they're in a pretty decent position to make sure that you can pay for it at almost the same rate. They appreciate a little bit faster.
Well, and the thing is,
anyway, you need a rebate.
They just want to make sure that if they have to repossess it, they're not upside down in it. I mean, that's really the truth. So,
okay.
And that's how it works.
Well, that's smart business.
It is.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. My wife and I just bought a Ford Flex. What kind of money could we have saved had we leased the car? Somewhere between 30 and 50% of what you're paying right now per month.
Depends on the
term. Somewhere
in
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on the term.
That hurts, though, when you hear that after
shelled
out money.
It's according to your purpose, though. I mean, again, you've got the guy that's driving the 1992 Ford F-150.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to argue with that from an economic standpoint. So leasing's not for everyone, but for most people in the Metroplex probably should lease their cars because they have a trade pattern. You know what most people do? They go out and they buy a car, they finance it for 5 years, they make payments on it for 5 years, and they trade it in as soon as it's paid for.
Yep.
And they get a new set of payments, and they go 5 years, and they trade it in. Guess what? They're leasing right now. They're almost going to have a payment.
Right.
That means they're leasing, but guess what? They're paying 30, 40, 50% too much.
Well, what's happening is they are paying for all that depreciation in their payment, or the extra depreciation. So you're paying the full payment to buy the car, and people are... This is an interesting dialogue that I have with customers. They're like, well, if I lease it, then when I get to the end, I don't have anything. You know, if I buy it and I pay it off, at least it's worth something at the end. I said, well, true. That's true. However, what you need to consider is this. If you're going to save, and let's just say the minimum amount of 30%. If your car payment is 30% less because you leased it. So if you bought it, it's $600. If you leased it, it's less.
Mm-hmm. Didn't want to do math on the radio.
You take that extra money. Don't say, I don't have anything. Go put it in a bank account.
Yeah.
And then you have it.
Yeah. Right.
And when
you're
at the end of your lease, you have that cash. Or take that money and send it in and pay it toward a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. with a higher interest rate, or pay it toward your mortgage, you know, extra toward your mortgage,
that's
not
what a lot
to
of
make your
do,
payment,
actually.
But yeah. pay that extra $100 or $200 toward your mortgage. Talk about saving some money.
Yeah.
You lease your car, take the extra $100 or $200 that you save and pay it on your mortgage, and that's some serious savings.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to look at your entire budget, your entire mathematical picture, and what you're really, really doing in order to figure out what's best for you.
Okay, some bad news if you're driving a Ford Escape, a 2013 Ford Escape, because they've just recalled about 11,500 of them, and this is a very serious recall. You don't hear these very often, but Ford has asked people to stop driving the cars. It's a 2013 Ford Escape with a 1.6-liter engine, and there is a possibility that a fuel line can split, which could cause a fire.
That's some serious.
It's very serious. So Ford is asking people with that 1.6-liter engine to park those cars, contact their local Ford dealer, and Ford will actually pick the car up from you, bring it in and get it fixed, and they will provide a loaner car for you.
Wow.
While that is going on.
They don't even want you driving it to the dealership.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So 2013 Ford Escape, 1.5 liter?
1.6 liter. And here's the deal.
1.4.
If you've got any questions, 1-866-436-7332, 1-866-436-7332, or go online to FordOwner.com, and you can find out what to do. But that's a very, very serious thing. Whenever they tell you not to drive it any further, that's serious.
Yeah.
Also, Honda has recalled 172,000 CR-V crossovers and Acura ILXs due to door latch issues, and that covers 320,000 cars worldwide.
And apparently the door can just come open.
Yeah.
Well, while you're driving?
Well, that's one of the things.
Well, if you hit the automatic locks and you pull on the door handle at the same time, it can disengage the door, even
oh my
while
gosh.
You're driving. So. Again, contact your Honda or Acura dealer on those, and they will be glad to get those cars in and get them taken care of. That's not a severe safety. It's pretty weird that it would do that.
Yeah.
They're actually going to try to begin those recalls and those repairs next month.
And I apologize. That is the 1.6-liter engine.
Yes, it is.
There were so many.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we will be back. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is on fire now at 43733. Got lots of them coming in. People need their questions answered. Like this guy. I've got a 350Z, and I was thinking about the 370Z. What do you guys think about the car? Or is there another one out there that I should know about?
I think other than the engine, they're the same car.
Same body style and everything.
They're really close to being the same, yeah. Other cars out there, the new Ford Mustang GT,
mm-hmm.
The Camaro SS, fabulous car, Corvette.
Yeah.
Love Corvettes. So there's a lot of cars out there that are a good choice. For Asian cars, I mean, he's driving, unless he wants to kick it up to a GTR, he's driving about as good as it gets.
They haven't updated their body style in a while, I don't think, have they?
No. No, it's been pretty well the same.
I had a guy pull in front of me in a Nissan 370 yesterday, and it was a two-lane road, and he just decided he was going to sit in both those lanes, not let anybody pass him. I thought it was so cocky of him.
Oh, maybe he was texting.
In his 370. Maybe so. Who knows? More AutoFlex Leasing fan texts at 43733. How does credit affect you on leasing?
Well, it affects you just like it does in buying. I mean, it's the old days, you had to have perfect credit to lease. Now you have to have fairly good credit to lease. And the better your credit, the lower rates that you're going to be afforded in whoever's lease that you're looking at, because they have tiered rates. So if you have 800-plus credit, it'll be really great. If you have 700-plus, it'll still be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under 700, it won't be quite as good. And you can pretty well lease from somewhere around 600 up, 640 maybe, somewhere in that area.
And you can use AutoFlex too.
Absolutely.
If you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. My 2008 Focus was a total loss 5 to 6 weeks ago during the hailstorm. Car was parked at work overnight while I was out of town. Oh, Lord. So had I been in town, I wouldn't be out anything. You know, again, you need to call on if you've got a car that's been hailed on or if it's a total loss. Now, the other thing is if that's a total loss, and this came up earlier in a fan text, leases have something called gap insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a total loss, it means that you won't owe more money on the car than the bank than the car is worth. So it pays the difference in your payoff and what the car is actually worth if you have a total loss, because your insurance company is going to pay you what the car's not worth, not what you owe at the bank. And so that difference or that gap is taken care of by gap insurance if you lease the car. Now, if you bought the car, you would have to buy gap in addition to that in order to have the protection. And I suggest everybody have gap.
Right. And you can get it through Autoflex Leasing. Let's talk about the Honda Link. Is that sort of like a Ford MyTouch?
Yeah, a whole lot. It's like the Ford MyTouch, and it's going to go into the 2013, the new redesigned Accord that they've got coming out. And what it's going to do is connect your car to the internet, to Slacker internet radio, to Yelp restaurant reviews, and you'll never have to touch your cell phone. It connects it through the cell phone, and you can talk to it, and it'll look up things, and then it will load, like if you're looking up a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
it'll give you the review on the restaurant, and if you tell it to, it'll load the restaurant into your nav system.
I love this idea.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
Does it only go to those websites, though, Yelp and Slacker Radio?
No, there's some other things that it goes to, but those are the main two. You can do Facebook also. It'll talk to you, but you can't actually update your Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah. They're using it right now in the Fit EV cars that they're selling out in California. Because they can ride in the HOV lane, and they're going to come with that to the Honda 2013 Accord on the next year on the upper lines only.
Okay.
And so it's going to be on the Accord EX and the redesigned Cross Tour. They're going to bring it out for lower lines in the following years.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it can just read you your Facebook comments.
Oh, and speaking of, Autoflex, this is a fan text, an Autoflex fan text. Autoflex is awesome and the best way to get a new car. I didn't pay for this. I just leased a new Cadillac CTS Coupe while on vacation in California. I called and worked with Stan the Man. It was the best experience I've ever had. So easy. I love it. I'll be back in 36 months.
Yay!
Yay, that's really nice. Cool.
Congrats on your new ride. The Cadillac.
And that is a nice car, that CTS Coupe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
I wonder if that's what Al Capone had.
No, he didn't. But if you wanted to drive the car that Al Capone had, you can if you've got the money. The 1928 Cadillac Town Sedan that is one of the oldest surviving bulletproof vehicles is about to go on the auction block in Michigan. This next week in RM Auctions in Plymouth, Michigan, is going to have the 1928 Cadillac V8 Town Sedan. And they think that it's going to bring somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000. Now, in addition to the standard 1928 Cadillac Town Sedan, you'll get 3,000 pounds of armor plating, inch-thick glass in the windows, a circular section cut out to accommodate a machine gun
in case
you need to shoot out the back. And the rear window is set up so that you can do a quick release downward on it and you can fire at any cars that might be following you, shooting at you.
What year is this car?
1928.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, here are the other things. Being Al Capone, he wanted to be fully equipped. So it also has flashing lights, just like a police car, a police siren, and a police band radio receiver.
I wonder if that still works.
I don't know. I don't think they still use those same frequencies.
Probably not.
Anyway, so if you're looking for a 1928 Cadillac Town Sedan with 3,000 pounds of armor plating and cutouts for your machine gun, you need to go to RM Auctions in Plymouth, Michigan. It'll be for sale on July the 28th. That's the day it'll cross the block.
Nice. If you got that car, though, you wouldn't even want to drive it, would you? You'd just leave it parked in some...
Yeah.
Flashy garage so you could show it off to people?
You would, and then someday you'd want to resell it for probably twice what you're going to pay for it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that about wraps up our time, but if we missed your Autoflex Leasing fan text today, you can always call Autoflex and get the answers you need. 817 or 972-234-1234. That's the number, and they're open today for you. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Waddle on the board. K&C Masterpiece coming up next right here on The Fan. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Right here I am, stuck in-